Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We pick up where we were last week. Jesus is in Matthew's house. And Jesus has just said, neither do men pour new wine into old wineskins. If they do, the skins will burst. The wine will run out and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they put new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved. In rushes a man. He rushes right into the room. He rushes right into Matthew's house. And he disturbs the eating of the meal. He rushes to where Jesus is, where Jesus was reclining. And the man humbles himself and kneels before Jesus, through gasps, trying to catch his breath. And between the sobs of tears running down his face, he tries to talk to Jesus. Come, quick! My daughter has just died. Please. Please come and put your hand on her, and she will live. Now, Jesus was just teaching about the new life that is in him, that the old is left behind and you put new wine and new wineskins because there's new life inside and out. And now a child lies dead in need of life. The child's father comes in faith. He says, put your hands on her and she will live. There's no doubt there. She will live. He comes in seeking mercy. What will Jesus do? He gets up and he follows. The disciples follow too. They follow this ruler from the synagogue. Pushing through the Pharisees that are standing at the door, they make their way towards the ruler's house. Don't miss the contrast in the religious leader attitudes. The ruler of the synagogue has come running with faith to Jesus. The Pharisees are standing at the door, more concerned about the finer intricacies of the law, in particular fasting, than having faith in Jesus. Through the streets, they go. A crowd follows and the crowd grows. And in that group is a woman who has been suffering for years. Suffering for years, most likely praying all those years to the Lord, please heal me. Now we need to remember that she has not been able to enter the temple or the synagogue for over 12 years. Her condition made her ceremonially unclean. She was not allowed to touch anything sacred. She was not even allowed to enter the outer courts of the temple in Jerusalem. But this uncleanness did not keep her from approaching Jesus. Jesus has healed many. The variety of sicknesses and disease healed were numerous. All who came to him were healed. This unnamed woman comes in faith. If I just touch the fringe of his cloak, the simplest, smallest of touches, that's all that's needed, and I will be healed. This woman, she had no precedents to follow. No one else had been healed that way before. No one simply reached out and touched Jesus to be healed. That is why her attitude and her action are described as faith. If I only touch the smallest portion, I will be healed. There is no, I may be healed. There was a solid and resolute, I will be healed. Such faith. Jesus turns and acknowledges her faith. Your faith has healed you. The Greek here carries a much richer meaning than our English. The Greek literally means your faith has saved you. The woman who was ceremonially unclean is now said to be saved. She has experienced literally the messianic deliverance. Really let that penetrate in your heart. The woman's faith saved her. The group continued on toward the synagogue ruler's house. As they drew near, the sounds of weeping and wailing fill the air. The sounds of mourning reverberate off the walls. Grief is everywhere. This little girl is dead. Into this commotion, the ruler of the synagogue, the girl's father comes, and he's followed by Jesus, and then the disciples, and the eyes turn to them, and then to Jesus. Then Jesus speaks words that are ludicrous to the ears of the mourners and musicians. Mourners, musicians, leave. The girl is not dead, but asleep. The people laugh at Jesus. Their laughter is laced with scorn and derision. Their countenances show contempt. There was no faith present on the mourners' faces. Still, the child's father had sought out Jesus with faith. Touch my child, my little girl, and she will live. Faith will prevail. Doubt was put outside. Faith was inside. And then Jesus went to where the child's body was lying. Reaching out, Jesus took her hand, and she was recalled from the dead. She was raised up. Life returned, just as the child's father's faith expected. The fame of this event spread throughout the region. Nowadays, the little girl could write a book that would be a bestseller along the book, Heaven is Real. Consider all that the disciples had seen and experienced. And now they have seen a little girl who was dead, standing before them, alive. Two miracles wrought, and they both had faith involved. The importance of faith. The importance of faith. Faith that is alive and active stirs us into action. The father had faith. He went to find Jesus. He just knew that Jesus could make his daughter alive. The woman had faith. She went to Jesus and she just knew that touching the littlest part of his robe, she would be healed. Faith is an action word. Faith is an action word. Not a passive word, but vibrant and active. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Hebrews chapter 11, read it later today if you want to hear more about faith. So Hebrews 1, faith is being sure. It's a done deal, even if we don't see it. Down to verse 6 of Hebrews chapter 11. And without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Faith is there, and it seeks God, and it's alive, and it's rewarded. First, with eternal life, because of the forgiveness of sins. Now remember, in James chapter 2, James wrote, I will show you my faith by what I do. Do you know of people that they say, I believe in Jesus, they say they have faith, but what they do tells a different story? May not not be with you. I believe, I live, I have faith, I do. Faith is a do word. Faith is more than I believe this is true. Faith has in it, I will live this way and I will do this because I know it is true. I will tell others about Jesus because I know he is Lord and Savior. I know there's forgiveness of sins in him, and I know there's life in him because I have it and I want you to have it too. That's the do part of faith. David Livingston, who we walked with this past Thursday night, he wrote this, that God grants blessings only to those with a willing mind. If that is lacking, all is lost. If there's the will to serve God is there, who knows what the limits of what a person can do through God, the Creator who can do anything. Did you hear the faith in that? I'm going to flip some words around so you can hear it. It can be said like this. God grants blessings only to those with faith. If faith is lacking, all is lost. If the faith to serve God is there, who knows the limits of what a person can do through God, the Creator who can do anything? Our Thursday night missionaries, we got two more to go. And their powerful stories this Thursday and the next. They lived their faith, and it spurred them on into action. And they're not to be these unique missionaries, but we are to be like them. All Christians are to spur to action because of the faith we have. The father of the girl, the ruler of the synagogue, he was powerless to change the condition of his daughter. She was dead. The woman who suffered for over 12 years was powerless to change her condition. She was ceremonially unclean. Yet, by faith, both came to Jesus. Faith stirred them into action to come to Jesus, and it made all the difference. Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8 again. In that context of faith, hear these words for us from the pen of the Apostle Paul, from the hand of God. You see, at just the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans chapter 5 starts out with, it is by faith that we get access to this grace of God. Romans 5 verse 1 says, we have been justified through faith. The faith, by faith we are made right with God. No work on our part can earn that declaration of righteousness by God. But now that we have been made right with God, that word is justified, how will we live the faith? How will we do the things of we believe? Martin Luther wrote in his preface to Romans, faith is a living, bold trust in God's grace. So certain of God's favor that would risk a death 1,000 times trusting in it. Let's just pull a few key words from that. Living, bold trust that risks. Faith is living, bold trust that risks. Faith puts things into action. It takes risks. Trusting in God to do wonders. In light of the ruler running to Jesus and a woman reaching out to touch the hem. In light of those bold actions driven by faith, in your own life, what bold action is being driven by faith? That is a hard and challenging question to ask yourself. Please do. Ask yourself, what bold action is being driven by my faith each day I live? Be honest in asking yourself. But perhaps we may be afraid to ask ourselves that question because we may not like the answer. But ask yourself that question in such a way that the answer comes. I will live by faith, boldly trusting God. I will take risks so others can be born again. Thursday nights, we have been traveling with missionaries learning about bold faith, encouraging us to join that journey of bold faith. Each one of us, we can join that journey of bold faith. When we see someone hurting, we can reach out to them with compassion and share in loving action the words and kindness and compassion of Jesus. How about this one? Don't come to worship alone. Bring someone with you each and every time you come. Whether it be Thursday nights or Sunday mornings, bring someone. For example, these past few days, the area has been filled with flyer mania, hasn't it? I mean, just about every advertisement on TV or radio says, hey, I'm a Flyer fan. Come do business with me because I support the Flyers. It's amazing when things go like that. People will come out of the woodwork. Oh, I've always been a UD Flyers fan. You know what I mean. You see them talking about Flyers, colors of Flyers, everything. Brothers and sisters, how come we don't live that way each day? As a Jesus fan, bold faith. Because see, basketball is fleeting, but life with Jesus is eternal. Bold faith in action for Jesus at every opportunity. For what Jesus has to offer is what this world needs: forgiveness and new life. Where Christian faith has taken hold, peace has come. Relationships are restored. Hope is given again that tomorrow will be better and there is life. Because forgiveness and the love of God has come. Here's a couple of acronyms to remember for faith. One, forsaking all. I trust Him. Faith. Forsaking all, I trust Him. So that's the picture of leaving all behind, I trust Him. Another acronym can help you. Faith. For all, I trust in Him. So now your new life. For all, I trust Him. And for those who like to have adventures, here's a great one I found. Faith. Fabulous adventure in trusting Him. Isn't that neat? Fabulous adventure in trusting Him. You see, our faith is to be real. Our faith is to hit the road. Our faith is to be real in such a way that it impacts all of our life. Because we're trusting Him for eternal life. We can live for Him in daily life. So I invite you to have a living, bold trust in God. A living, bold faith that takes risks and that last word for faith, and join in the fabulous adventure in trusting Him. The fabulous adventure in trusting Him. Amen.